Stop me if you guys have heard this before, but fear is the mind killer. Have you heard that ever?
Long live the warriors. Long live the fighters.
Along a time or two, I've heard it.
You are yelling in your basement, bro. Your voice is fried.
My voice is fried because we went to game 4, and then 2 days later we did the
The
watch
live show.
party in the loudest place I've ever been, and
Shout out
my
Tom.
voice has just not recovered from then. I did yell in my basement.
And you're on your like fourth highball of whiskey right now. So,
It's my second.
all right. Okay.
I had to toast the ant dunking on Yuta Watanabe poster in my basement.
Buckle up, hotties. It's time to talk some hoops. Welcome to Crunch Wears No Pants with Brandon, Nate, and Jordan.
What's poppin', baby people? Welcome to a very victorious episode of Crunch Wears No Pants. We only record after playoff victories nowadays. I am Jordan Politrades Alamat. That is Nathan Duncan Idaho Hallsdorf, and over there is Brandon Fader out the back, and we are the bosses of the hoops.
May thy knife chip and shatter.
May thy knife chip and shatter.
That was
chip
pretty
and
good,
shatter.
dude. That was pretty good. We're the bosses of the hoopsdepartment.com, making your homepage, and we are powered exclusively by freaking Lamb Chops, Duke Cannon, Den Heads, and freaking Chill Boys. Guys, this is a real sentence. What I'm going to say is a true statement. The Timberwolves just dismantled the reigning champion Denver Nuggets in an elimination game, 115 to 70. They won by 45 in a very critical game six. We are going to go around and do our classic post-game reactions after we thank everyone for coming to our game five watch party. That was sick. Tom's
Yeah, that
watch
was really
party was
cool.
cracking.
It's too bad that Nikola Jokic turned into God on a basketball court for the second half.
Dude,
Yeah, the first quarter was a blast.
It was great. And
even
dude,
the beginning of the third quarter when they went up two and they called the
oh yeah,
timeout
I
and we were
forgot
like,
about that.
this is sick. And then the Nuggets scored on like 20 straight possessions after that.
Yeah, that was I left with 90 seconds left on the clock, and I'm so sorry. I was kind of pissed, and I apologize to you guys. But dude, shout out to Pull Tab for organizing it. Shout out to Toms for being there and then like letting us do it. We had like 36 hours notice that it was happening. And I was nervous that people were going to show up, but like shout out to Gabe and all of the members of Panty Nation that pulled up. The t-shirts, you can buy a t-shirt. We have the Crunch Wears No Pants t-shirt. I'll tweet out the link. They're graphic. They're sexually suggestive, and it was a great time. Also, shout out to the Korean barbecue wings at Tom's Watch Bar. For a
Dude, they're
place
good
that
at
specializes in TVs, they also specialized in wings because that shit was good.
They were good. I was not expecting that.
No, they were crispy on
they
the
were
outside and juicy on
fire.
the inside. Yeah. All right, whatever. Thank you for letting me talk about game five. Let's talk about game six, guys. How are your freaking vibes? Brandon, start us off.
Explain that one, atheists. Oh, you don't believe in God? Well, I just watched the Timberwolves beat the defending champion Denver Nuggets by 45 points in an elimination game at home. It was a religious experience. I am never going to die. And I don't know. I'm being really like on Twitter right now. I'm being really like, I don't know, sentimental to the point of like, it feels like it doesn't matter what happens from here on out. I like they have answered the bell at this point. Like anything can happen in a game seven. I think it's a 50-50 proposition at this point, if I'm being completely honest. They've got the MVP on their side. We've got Anthony Edwards on our side. And, you know, Nikola Jokic is really scary. I'd be really scared if Anthony Edwards was facing me down for a game seven as well. That being said, like this is not the same old Timberwolves. This is not Minnesota sports. They answered the bell tonight. And I just think like we need to bury that shit. Fear is the mind killer.
Yes.
Throw that shit out the window. Tonight they could have rolled over and died. They had lost three in a row to the defending champions, and they had come home. They hadn't won a game at home in this series, and they absolutely whooped their ass.
He said the F-er on the pod. He never says the F-er on the pod. Big stir from Brandon. Durf, how are your vibes?
I've just been staring off into space. The game ended, and I just like stared at the paused ESPN like broadcast, just like this joy, just like living in this joy that I couldn't put words to. It was such a roller coaster today. This afternoon, I was going through the emotions of like, it's like I am so hopeful and I want to live in that hope, but I'm also thinking like, man, this could be the last game of the best season of any sport I've watched ever, like to this point. And that was like a super emotional thing for me. I like the Ted Lasso quote video that you posted today almost made me cry at my desk.
I got you, dude.
I know. I was feeling so many emotions, and it's just, it's an insane, that game was insane. It was so much fun. Beck, you pretty much said it all, but like, this is the team doing what Finch said, the reporter asking him like, well, this, you know, the state of Minnesota has had blah, blah, blah. And he's like, I wasn't here. None of us were here for that. Like, we don't know that. And that's the team showing up today and showing us they don't know that. They didn't grow up in Minnesota. They aren't influenced by, to your point, Jolly, a missed field goal in 1998. Like, these things don't impact them because that's not what they're from. That wasn't where they were built. They were built in front of us. And man, it was so fun to see them respond and to respond so intentionally from the tip off. I mean, there was like some rough points at the beginning of the first quarter, and then they just locked in and they locked in start to finish. It was a back against the wall game. It showed, and man, they just, the lights, like I said, the lights are not bright enough for Anthony Edwards.
What, I saw some tweet that was like, Denver started off on a 9-2 run, and then the Timberwolves capped it off with like a 106-to whatever,
113-61 run. Yeah. So good.
Brandon, what were you going to say?
Well, I was going to say, like, and hats off to Anthony Edwards, and I think he's going to be a big topic of conversation, and he's the guy who I just talked about. Like, I want him on my side going into a game 7. He led the team in plus minus tonight. That's all fine and good. We got to give our flowers, though. The MVP of this game was Jaden McDaniels.
100%.
I don't think I'm being crazy when I say that. I think he really just unlocked everything from an offensive perspective for this team. They've been really stuck in the mud. Like, let's call a spade. They were really bad offensively for these last three games, and they've been really stuck in the mud. And that was because, like, not solely because of Jaden McDaniels, but Jaden McDaniels was a big part of that, because he was standing in the corner a lot and he was just missing a lot of open threes, and they weren't guarding him because of that, and rightfully so. And he really, really was intentional. Both the coaching staff did a really good job getting him involved, like having him do a lot more screening and mm-hmm. getting him involved in actions in different ways. But he was also just really, really active cutting and attacking off the catch in a way that I think kind of just activates him. Both, like, he was 3-for-6 from 3-2. And I think the fact that he was more active offensively, like attacking, kind of like loosens him up a little bit. He doesn't feel the pressure of having to knock down those four standstill threes that he gets a game because he's engaged and involved in the offense. Mm-hmm. And he scored 21 points on 10 shots. He was just, jeez, he just completely, like, and by doing that, he just freed up everything else. He just completely took away the whole Denver load up on Ant thing by just being super active and being super engaged. And then on top of that, he just made life miserable for Jamal Murray again in this game. He's had a rough series, but when the games have mattered in this playoffs, I think about game 3 against Phoenix. I think about game six tonight. Jaden McDaniels has showed up. And when he shows up, this team is basically impossible to beat.
Mm-hmm.
We talked about this really early on in the season about, you know, Jaden being the key because of that motion, right? You remember that conversation, guys, where it was like he were talking about him cutting and just like, just that him being like the spaz and like the motion, which is a very, he's a very calm guy. So it's weird to describe him as like a spaz, but just the way he moves, his ability to shoot, his energy on defense. It was really cool to see him come alive like that. Durf, do you have any more takes on Brandon? Not on Brandon. Do you have any more takes
Brandon,
on
Brandon? Good tweeter, fun podcast good tweeter, host.
Great friend.
Good beard. Super jacked.
Yeah.
No, yeah, shout out Kai.
Yeah, Kai. for reference to listeners, we were at the game and I saw Netglow and Kai chatting it up when I went up the stairs and I was like, oh, what's up, Kai? And he was like, yo, is Brandon like super jacked? And I was like, I mean, yeah, he works out quite a bit. And he's like, I think I walked by him in the bathroom and he was super yoked and I didn't know if it was him or not.
Yeah, dude, your chest is getting like large. I'm just like, oh my God, Brandon, like if you hugged me, like you might break my neck.
I can't wear medium t-shirts anymore.
You're just like yoked.
All right. Anyway, Jaden McDaniels.
He's like buff Sydney Sweeney. Oh yeah, Jaden McDaniels.
Kind of a bar.
Kind of the antithesis of Sydney Sweeney. Just no curves. Plank.
Plank from Ed and Eddie.
What a shot.
He kind of has the emotions of Plank too. minus the sometimes he gets mad. All right. Anyway, Jaden McDaniels was amazing. We've said it before. We've said it again. Like, he's the X factor. It is becoming more and more apparent. It is so important to get him involved early in the game. Like, there was a lot of stuff early in the game. You could tell that they were trying to like intentionally trying to get him like looks, but also there was just some like he was in the right spot at the right time for like some second chance points. Some like. He had a couple he only had four rebounds, but he had a few. It's weird. Like, I feel like he leads the team in like tipped balls where he doesn't get the rebound, but he leads to an offensive rebound because he gets active. He cuts towards the hoop. He's like in the right position to like kind of do that volleyball rebound where it's like,
yeah, tell me more about tipped balls.
How much time you got?
I also think like, it sounds weird to say in a 45 point blowout that they pretty much like, once they went on that, whatever the run, like they started down 9-2 and they went on whatever the 24-0 run or whatever it was and like never kind of looked back. Mm-hmm. I really think like the Jaden McDaniels tip in at the end of the half was a really big play because that was the difference between, you know, with we think about like game four where the Wolves are down 7 with 20 seconds left and Kentavious Caldwell-Pope hits a 3. Turnover, run out dunk, turnover again. Jamal Murray hits a 55-footer. I almost said 55-pointer. 55-pointer.
Best shot in basketball. It
felt like a 55-pointer.
If the inbounder, after a score, if the inbounder shoots it and makes it, it should be worth 55 points. 55 points, 55 fouls, 55 rebounds.
Anyway. So that we think about game four that switched it from a 7 point to a 15 point game. And it was just like this deflating thing.
Backbreaking. Yeah.
With 10 seconds left, the Wolves were up 17 and they missed a shot. Aaron Gordon got the rebound and he threw like an absurd turnover. And so you think about that, like, if Aaron Gordon gets that rebound, doesn't turn it over, Denver comes down, hits a 3, or Jokic hits one of his little floaters, then all of a sudden it's like a 15-point game, 14-point game. Like, doubt starts to creep in a little bit. Like, we say kill the Minnesota sports thing, but like those moments happen where it kind of like seeps in.
Yeah,
instead,
like
what happens
stipulation, is 15 points in the modern NBA is like six points.
So instead, what happens is he turns it over. I don't remember who took the shot, but someone takes a shot, they miss it, and Jaden McDaniels crashes from the corner, comes in, tips it in, boom, 19-point game going into the half. And that's got to be super demoralizing for Denver, who's like trying to cut down this lead, and they feel like they're going to come into that half with a reasonable lead, and instead, like right at the buzzer, boom, they've got two extra points that they have to worry about. And from that point forward, like it, the game never felt like it was in the balance after that. Like right before the half, it kind of felt like we got to close strong. They did. And then they came out and they put them away in the third quarter to the point that Denver emptied their bench with 9.5 minutes left.
Bro, we were like in the stadium, we're like, is that DeAndre Jordan? Are they throwing like the kitchen sink at us just to try and get some energy back? And then I was like, no, dude, this is the white flag. Something named Watson is in. Like, I think it's done.
To be fair, I like Peyton Watson as a player. I think Peyton Watson's going to be good.
Yeah, but when you see a lineup of guys that haven't played all game and you're like, oh, okay, never mind.
I was just trying to be mean.
It was just really cool, too, that like Denver waved the white flag. And in the back of my head, I'm like, still only a 30-point game. Like, if we put in Josh Minot and Wendell Moore and like DeAndre Jordan leads like a 10-0 run, like maybe they put Jokic back in. And then like all of a sudden the Wolves hit like 5 3-pointers in a row and it was a 50-point game. And I was like, okay, I'm pretty comfortable now.
Luka Garza goes in and he does his hyper-efficient end of game closing. Closer Luka Garza. I want to say one last thing about Jaden McDaniels. So the getting him going thing early is like, I've kind of said that about Towns a couple of times in the playoffs, but the difference with Kat is like, it's not with Jaden. It's like, if he doesn't see the ball go on the hoop early, he can kind of get disengaged in offense. And you know, with Kat, like, Kat, yeah, it's helpful. If you get him going early and build that confidence, it's great. But Kat can like get his offense going by himself. So there are like, he is more capable of starting himself up, whereas Jaden isn't like that. Like, Jaden's probably not going to shoot himself into a good offensive night. And so like finding those opportunities to get him points early does so much for the mental part for him. Like, he's going to always be there on defense, but there are games where you can tell he's kind of just there on offense, but he's focusing on defense. But tonight is like, and they feed each other, right? Like, if he's having a great offensive game, it's like his defensive effort is like double. But man, what a great performance.
I like your segue. Oh, sorry. What's up, Brandon?
Oh, sorry. Just one more Jaden thing. Like, we can call a spade too. Like, Jaden is a rhythm player. Jaden has not been a good shooter this year. So, like, you can plant him in the corner and you can hope that he hits his first couple shots and finds a rhythm. But that's not really like a winning proposition. Like, more often than not, what's going to happen, he's going to miss those first couple of threes, or he's going to go 1 for 3 and he's going to lose confidence and he's going to become disengaged. And he can stay valuable because he is that level of defender. But like I said, hats off to the coaching staff by getting him involved as a screener in a way that keeps him out of the corner, gets him involved as a cutter. Like I said, he attacked off the catch really well in a way that I think really empowers him, where I don't know. Maybe this is just confirmation bias because he went 3 for 5 from three. But I think the fact that he was active and engaged and he had gotten a couple cutting dunks and one of those turning, Britt Robson calls it the folding lawn chair, like mid-rangers. Like, I think if he gets those things earlier in the game, the three-pointers are just more likely to go in because he's looser. He's more relaxed.
Yeah,
he doesn't feel the pressure on those. Like, and so I think like by being intentional about getting him involved, it empowers him as a shooter too. And
100%.
He was just
fantastic.
I love when he attacks. I love his shot when it falls, but I love when he works in the mid range. Like, he's 6'11". He's nearly 7 feet tall. And I love the way he can just like drive. He can attack. He's a little weak on the attack, but I love his fadeaways. Like those folding chair fadeaways. That's like an unguardable shot. He's this huge lanky guy. The ball is in no place where anyone can block it. And it just swishes so beautifully. So I just a nice bow on the Jaden conversation.
You know, when he when he kind of gets a full head of steam, like he cuts towards the rim with the ball and you're kind of like, is he going to lay, like, is it going to be like a floater? And then he extends and dunks and you're like, but he's able to contort himself. It's like, you know how they had those three almost back-to-back-to-back charges that got called last time? It's like Jaden doesn't do that because he can turn himself into a piece of paper. Like he turns sideways and he like slices in between Jokic.
That's a good bit. That's
but that goes bit. To like that goes to like the engagement level too. Like when he's in, when he's really engaged and into the game offensively, and he's driving baseline. Like the dunk he had to start the third quarter was a really big play too. Mm-hmm. Like when he's engaged offensively, he's more likely to just like powerfully go up and dunk compared to like try to like do some like weird contorting finger roll or fade away. Like
you which can just still kinda, looks cool. I pause
which still
it.
Looks cool, but like I those dunks are like 100% shots.
Yeah. Fair
yeah,
enough.
That's true.
Durf, you mentioned Carl. I want to talk about Carl, the Jokic stopper.
Yeah.
What in amazing, the world is guys. Going on?
He was all in on defense tonight, dude. All
he
in.
Had, and then after the first quarter, he had 7 boards and 3 assists. I was like, this might not be a cat offensive night, but like, bro, he was putting in work on Jokic. He was like making like the right plays. Like, obviously, he makes a lot of money. We can talk about the Supermax and like the value of the contract. That was a winning basketball player tonight. Super fun to watch him body up Jokic like that.
Yep. Cat only had 3 fouls tonight. Shout out Mark Davis, by the way. Yeah, we love Mark love Davis. Mark this is Davis. A pro Mark Davis pod. We need him for all of our games.
Future guest of the pod, three. Mark Davis. Future guest.
Yes. He had 3 fouls. No one, like, Conley, McDaniels, and Gobert only had 1 foul each and had 2. Cat had 3. Like, man, it's fun to watch them let us play.
Yeah.
Wow. All right, back to Cat.
And, yeah, but like
he was great.
He only had 10 points, and like you said, like the Jokic stopper. But he only had 10 points. He was 0-4 from 3.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's like Durf. I know we talked in our group chat. We got into a little argument about shooting variance, but like that's shooting variance. Like if Kat shoots 4 threes, if he shoots 5 threes, what's more likely than not going to happen is 2 of them are going to go in. And then all of a sudden he has 16 points instead of 10 points, and he also didn't play the last 10 minutes of the game because they were winning by 50. But he had 13 rebounds. He had 5 assists.
Yep.
He had only 1 turnover. Like we always do the like, when you consider the stakes, this was the best game of Kat's career. This was not the best game of Kat's career, but this was a really, really good Karl Anthony Towns game because he was so impactful defensively. He was really, really good on the glass. He didn't do his stray voltage thing. I was a little nervous about the stray voltage when he threw like the 100-mile-an-hour fastball to Mike Conley from like 8 feet away in the corner that almost went out of bounds. But Conley caught it and Kat settled down after that. But man, he was so good tonight. And I also want to give a lot of credit to Rudy Gobert, who was also really good tonight, who has been getting raked over the coals for the last 2 days yeah. because the greatest offensive player we've seen since Michael Jordan hit a bunch of absurd behind the head shots yeah. against him.
Let's talk about it. When Reggie Miller said barbecue chicken, I'm like, dude, that was the highest hook shot off the glass, like from like, the most impossible angle. And that's barbecue chicken. What's like, General Sows then? Like, what are we looking at? What are we talking about?
I just like, did the people who were like roasting Rudy Gobert, like sure. Nikola Jokic went off. Did they watch the game? Who was going to stop Nikola Jokic in that game? I feel like it's almost disrespectful to Nikola Jokic.
Is it because he does it in such a clandestine way where you're like, oh, okay, well, he has 45 and it's just insane. And like, he doesn't show emotion. So people are like, okay, that's just basketball, which is
like,
not
like
accurate.
Like I said, it feels like it almost feels disrespectful to him to be like, wow, defensive player of the year, can't even stop him. It's like, he is hitting insane shots. I mean, maybe it's like, okay, don't let him get good position. Like if Nikola Jokic gets it 5 feet away from the basket, it just feels like it's automatic. Yeah. It's like, but the only people who are big enough to keep him from doing that, then he just blows by him. Like,
yeah. Is the Carl advantage because he's just got like like a good ass, like just like strong, a nice strong butt and the strong lower
Carl,
half.
I think Carl is just like a little bit stronger than Rudy. Like he's a little bit lower to the ground.
Rudy's
but also,
pretty
like,
yoked, bro. I know he's on Brandon Beck, but like he's pretty.
Like I don't want to disparage Carl and pretend like he is not a huge factor in why it works. Part of why Carl is a better Jokic defender than Rudy Gobert is that Rudy Gobert is helping him.
That's a good point like, when you bring it up like that.
If Rudy Gobert was guarding Nikola Jokic one-on-one and another Rudy Gobert was lurking in the paint, that would help.
Wait,
can
we get a second Rudy Gobert?
Tootie Gobert.
Tootie Gobert. Go ahead.
Like so, I don't want that to make it sound like I'm okay. Crediting all the Jokic stopper stuff to Carl Anthony Towns. Like what Carl does better than anyone, what he does better than Nas, what he does better than Rudy, what he does better than Kyle, is that he just absorbs the first hit.
Yeah,
from Jokic, which that's like if when Jokic hits you with his shoulder, if you give up 2 feet of space, like it's over. Because like I said, when he gets it 5 feet away from the hoop, he's just going to throw that like moon ball floater up over, like it doesn't matter how long you are. He throws it so high. He's got such tremendous touch. He's going to throw it over the top of you and it's going to go in. But Carl absorbs that blow really well. Doesn't let him get 5 feet away. And then he has the advantage of Rudy Gobert and Jaden McDaniels are lurking around too, making life really hard on him. So
what I also noticed today when I was watching from section 104, row N, seat seven, was that they threw the double at Jokic faster. And like the guards were helping out more with Jokic.
I think they really like the thing has been with the Wolves Nuggets matchup has been like make Jokic a scorer, make him beat you scoring. Well, I think game five showed us like, don't do that because holy shit. Like this is a game six pod, man. That was the most amazing basketball game I've ever seen from Nikola Jokic. Nikola Jokic played the most amazing basketball game I think I've ever seen in game five. Like he was incredible. And you just have to tip your cap to that. Like,
well, wait, hang on. What about D'Angelo Russell in the playing game?
Actually, the most amazing basketball game I've ever seen was D'Angelo Russell's first game against the Wolves when he played for the Warriors after they failed to sign.
Oh, yeah.
He scored after 51 points.
Yeah.
That was insane.
But I can't say enough about how amazing this response was after what Jokic did to them in game five, because I tweeted this after the game in game five. It was hard to feel like terribly bad about game five because it was just like, what the hell are you supposed to do?
Yeah.
If the best basketball player in the world decides to be God for 48 minutes, then it's just over.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And he did, and they lost. And at that point, it would have just been really easy for the Wolves to be like, man, maybe we're just not as good as the Nuggets. And instead, what they did is they came out and they kicked their ass.
Yeah, I feel like this is supersedes ass kicking. I don't know what this is. Okay, so if we had to do like our three things, we did freaking number one, Jaden. Number two,
I think Ant. Like we have to like acknowledge the fact.
Wait,
that,
hang on, Durf. Was like, did I cut you off? I was trying to reset and figure out what we were talking
about.
Well,
I was gonna say something else about. No, I don't remember. Oh, just
was
about the way
holes?
It was the way that we played Jokic last game. Sam and I were talking about this yesterday, and like, I kind of felt like yes, we did kind of do the like, well, let's make him beat us. Like we're gonna kind of like shut off his like facilitator valve, but it did feel like we didn't fully commit to that. Like, and I get it. Like, you don't want to. You're not just going to do like the Olay thing, like, hey, just, you know, you score and we'll worry about everybody else. But it did feel like they tried to do a little bit of both, and that's why neither worked. Like, they did still kind of help out, but they weren't fully doubling him. but they also weren't taking away some of the like passing lanes for him too. And so it kind of just like fell apart because he's still able, like he still had like 13 assists on top of his 40 points.
Yeah.
So it's like, it just, and I know it's not that easy. Like it's, he was going to probably find a way to beat you either way, but it did feel like they had a little bit more clear vision going into tonight, how they wanted to play him. And they kind of committed to that. And also again, a lot of this have to do with like the guard play and the help that they gave him.
Yeah. I mean, I think defensively it's as simple as like, and this could come back to bite you in game seven. My analysis for game seven is just going to be like, some like anything can happen in game seven. Like that's how game sevens work. Game sevens are weird. Game sevens are crazy. I think they were basically just like, we're not going to let Jokic do that again. And if Michael Porter hits six threes, which he's capable of doing, or if Jamal Murray scores 30 points, which he's capable of doing, I think they were just like, we're going to live with someone else beating us. And we're just going to really, really sell out on stopping Nikola Jokic. And that's what they did. And they did a really good job of it. And tonight, those guys didn't beat him. I'm interested like to see as the next couple days go by, like what happens. Jamal Murray had the elbow thing right away in the game. And then he had a terrible game. And he was very quick to remind everyone after the game that his elbow hurt, which sure, that might explain this game. But if his elbow hurts on Sunday, that's a really big deal.
Yeah. His elbow probably hurts because his wife gives horrendous so he's always jacking it.
His wife didn't have to do the oral. I think Denver is good enough to win without the oral.
Also, Brandon, I brought back your transphobe when Michael Porter Jr. got the ball and people were loving it. So, Brandon, shout out to you for a great new chant. We got to bring this MC John.
Was he really bummed when they got free Chick-fil-A?
Wouldn't he celebrate that?
Yeah, no, because Chick-fil-A is not making any money and he'd be pissed off by that.
Oh, yeah, probably. I didn't ask him.
You should talk to him. We should DM him.
We should DM Michael Porter Jr. And we should definitely have MC John B do the "You're a Transphobe" chat. Michael Porter
Jr. Hey, who this man?
We gotta come next time he's on the show. We gotta do a bunch of chants we want to do, like player specific bullying, and that's one of them.
That can be our bit next week when we do the Western Conference Finals preview.
Yes.
Hey. But the other key, like another key, I don't think we need to go super deep into this, was for the first time in three games, the Wolves won the bench advantage. Like,
yes,
we talked about that going into the series, that the bench was going to be a big advantage and just hadn't been to this point. Like Nas and Nikhil needed to step up and we needed to do a better job against Justin Holiday and Reggie Jackson and Christian Brown. Justin Holiday, Reggie Jackson and Christian Brown combined for 2 points tonight. And Naz Reid and Nikhil combined for 19. And that was a massive difference. But we've bounced around it. Like we said, it's the Jaden game. We talked about Rudy and Carl. I think having Mike back was huge. But Anthony Edwards, he just keeps doing stuff as a 22-year-old that is, honestly, it's insane that this guy plays for the Timberwolves.
I love it.
And
big fan.
He is, I don't know, he's elevated to such a level in the playoffs that he, like, I've been really harping all season about how we need to stop comparing him to guys like Jason Tatum and Shai Gilgeous-Alexander because he wasn't there yet and those guys are a lot older than him. I don't know if, like, the level he's elevated to in the playoffs, he's one of the best players in the NBA as a 22-year-old. Like, I don't think he's as good as Jokic, because I think Jokic is the best player in the world with a bullet.
He has a bullet? Anyway, keep going.
But, I mean, he was plus nice. 43 tonight in 34 minutes. He scored 27 points.
What was Luka Garza?
Before, Luka Garza was plus 9.
Oh, I thought he was. Oh, I wanted to. What was his per 36 numbers?
I don't have that.
Played 8 minutes.
Up. Yeah, pull them up. They're probably
if I had him for Arwow, I'd give that as one of the clues. As Durf, season stats.
Durf, can you somehow find Lucas per 36 numbers for this game and extend them?
Try to.
Yeah, please do.
I mean, per 32 that he's plus 36. So he would be plus 40 and a half per 36. Wow. So not as good as Ant, who is plus 43 and 34.
Okay. Can you guys tell me about Ant's offensive game? Because one, the Casamigos was speaking to me. It was the water of life. But also, I was really locked into his defense. I just loved how engaged he was. It was just a different type of fire. Durf, can you take me through what you saw offensively from Ant? And then Brandon, you can supplement if he forgot anything or if you want to add something, which I'm sure you do, because you just have opinions on everything and you're good at talking about them.
Well,
Durf, go.
First off, I just want to lead with this little audio bite of Ant in postgame.
Yeah.
Locker room staffer in Denver, you were going to be back.
Hell yeah. They know y'all was in there. Yeah, I told them. I said, I see y'all motherfuckers for game 7. Yeah.
Thanks, man.
I guess that's all we need to know.
that was unbelievable. No, I saw that tweet from yesterday because it got retweeted on my timeline of somebody being like, yeah, Ant told the ball boy after the game, I'll see you back in Denver game 7. And it's just having a guy that can say the things that he says and back it up and more than back it up on the court is unbelievable. Ant tonight, man, it's just hard to even like Ant just did Ant things at this point. Like, I don't really know how else to describe it. He was all over the place. He's making these incredible shots. There was a few where, so like he had that, he fell on his ass and he bruised his back and then he like started launching up these deep, deep, like almost to that logo threes. And I was like, okay, like I get it. Like if this goes
what
in,
if he makes them,
if this goes in, you're going to kill everybody with the, with the trajectory of the ball, yeah. Like the explosion that happens. No, but he was excellent. I don't know how else to say it. He was excellent. He was so good. He was plus 43. Michael Jordan's never been plus 43 in a playoff game.
I don't know about that.
I don't know.
He probably has been. Michael Jordan. I love the Michael Jordan Ant comparisons are fun, and maybe someday Michael Jordan was really good.
Has Michael Jordan ever been a plus 43?
Did Michael Jordan ever lead the Minnesota Timberwolves to a game 7 versus the defending champions? See, that's a tick for Ant and a demerit for Jordan. Not me, Michael. What's up, Brandon?
But I mean, like 27 points, like he's been scoring 40 in a bunch of games. So like this game might not stand out and it might not feel like they needed all 27 of them because it was a 45 point win.
Nice.
But I mean, it was just like, he was really just the head of the snake tonight. Like,
you love that analogy. Why?
I don't think I've ever said that analogy on the pod.
Are you serious?
Do I say that a lot?
I think a lot.
Dane says that a lot. I don't think I've ever said it.
I think you've said it. You also describe games frequently as pedestrian. What else is there, Durf? What's Brandon's current linguistic?
He loves saying with a bullet or...
I do say with a bullet a lot.
Yeah, or jump... No. A classic Beckism is jump the shark. Love
yep.
saying.
I love saying jump the shark.
which one time I was like, what does that mean? And you're like, it's from Jaws, right?
It's from Happy Days. Because Happy Days used to be a realistic show, and then all of a sudden there was an episode where the Fonz jumped over a shark when he was like skiing or something.
You know what I have to say about that? Yamorama.
Back to you. I forgot about Yamorama.
Yeah.
Also, speaking of Yamorama and things about Brandon's aunt and uncle. So
Yamorama's my dad.
Oh, my bad. JJ. I see long shot from Twitter, wore Shabazz jersey and people fucking went crazy for it. Shaboom, shaboom.
Shabazz.
What were we talking about?
We were talking about Anthony Edwards being the head of the snake. But he commanded so much attention and he did a really, really good job. Like, he didn't have a lot of assists, but he did a really, really good job, like getting off of double teams. And then they made the extra pass. And that led to a lot of like the cutting dunks for Jaden. And like Rudy only had 8 points, but they felt like really impactful 8 points. And like Mike Conley got a lot of open looks. Like
Mike was sick tonight.
But I also think like Ant had three steals. And at least in my memory of watching the game, it felt like they came at some crucial times at the game, and they turned into like run out dunks, which are like big momentum plays. Hands. Like getting out in transition against Denver today was really huge, because they're not a terrible defensive team when they get set, and they don't turn it over a lot. But I think the Wolves did a really good job turning them over today and getting some of those free points that kind of like broke their spirit a little bit. But at the end of the day, like
a little bit, they lost by 50.
Well, I'm saying like the little dunks broke their spirit a little bit. A lot of other stuff broke their spirits a little bit.
Oh, too. You're saying multiple layers.
Like that was like a little bit of the breaking of their spirit.
Yeah.
It's but at like, the end of the day, like they won the Ant minutes by 43. The next highest, next closest plus minus was Rudy, was plus 30. Like when Ant was on the floor, they were unstoppable today. Whether that was because he was scoring or because he was commanding attention or because he was making life miserable for whoever he was guarding defensively. But man, I'm just like, I guess I'm not running out of words because I've just said a lot of words.
I love
about
words.
Him. But yeah, I mean,
Durf, what do you got?
He's 22.
I have something to confirm for you guys. I was right. Officially, LeBron. Michael Jordan never recorded a game in the playoffs with more than plus 37. And the reason is because they started doing plus minus in 1997.
That was like the very tail end of his career.
Hey, like I said, officially, there's no official record of Michael Jordan having higher than Anthony Edwards plus minus tonight. You heard it here, folks. Breaking news.
I think the question is, why are we limiting Anthony Edwards by comparing him to Michael Jordan?
That's true. I don't want to discount Anthony Edwards. You know, here.
Yeah, Anthony Edwards really gives me King Arthur vibes. He's really on that trajectory.
He pulled that sword from the stone when he was way younger than King Arthur did.
Well, he didn't pull the sword from the stone. He left it in because he has a child now and a couple of abortions.
Not that.
Well, no, staying in. That's pretty tame compared to what I said about Jamal Murray's life. Anything else you want to talk about before we wrap it up here, guys?
I love basketball. I love you guys. I love Hennessy. I love Mark Davis.
I love Parlor Burger. Section 112 always did me good.
I announced to the Twitter world again that I have never loved anything more than I love Anthony Edwards.
How'd Tira take it?
She quote tweeted again. We'll see if we show up on another aggregate.
Swish Sports or whatever.
She just quote tweeted. Pulse. She's like, here we go again.
Yeah, classic.
They're gonna all be right. Like, well, I have a like game seven. Anything can happen. I'm just telling you guys, prepare yourselves. The game is gonna be miserable. Like, we're going to hate every minute of it. But if they win, it's going to be so good.
Yeah, it's I remember game seven versus the Kings, and that was great. I remember game six versus the Lakers. I can't even fathom that. It's like a Western Conference Finals is within our grasp, and I can't wait for it to be a reality. It's going to be
really
awesome.
I really thought that... the cadence that you were saying that, I really thought you were going to say the game is afoot. It's like, are you Sherlock references? Blanc. Yeah, or
Benoit Blanc.
Yeah, does he say that in that?
Yeah, it's the game is the foot, but the game inside the game is afoot.
Oh yeah, I mean it's also from Sherlock Holmes, but
I like Benoit Blanc better because he's in the bathtub in the second one. Do you guys like Glass Onion?
Yeah, it's pretty
Glass
good.
Onion's fine, but it's not as good as Knives Out.
No, Knives Out's a 10.
I think that type of movie is just a movie that it's kind of like a Wes Anderson film. Like, I'm going to like this. Like, this is definitely a format that I'm going to enjoy. Like, I want it to be have you seen the tweets? It's like, put Benoit Blanc with a bunch of Muppets and do a Knives Out movie.
A Muppets mystery with Benoit Blanc.
Yes, I'm so in.
Not to go back to the classic Beckisms, but I think Glass Onion jumped the shark a little bit by the end of it.
It was a little bit too on the nose, like the Elon thing.
I guess. I mean, when the... I Spoiler alert for Glass Onion. If you haven't seen Glass Onion,
turn
fast
the
forward the pod 30 seconds. When they blow up the house at the end, I was like, this is a little much.
I loved it. Rian Johnson, you can do no wrong in my book, especially The Last Jedi, where you did really great. And Looper.
Looper's good.
I haven't seen Looper.
Oh, Looper's good.
The eye drop
good.
Drugs.
Yeah. Bruce Willis.
Psychedelic eye drops. Yeah.
JGL.
Bummer about Bruce.
Wait, Looper isn't the one with Hayden Christensen? What's the one that kind of sounds like Looper with Hayden Christensen?
It's not. Oh, I don't know.
Awake? When he's awake during surgery and they're going to kill him?
But Looper is, what's his face? Joseph Gordon-Levitt.
No, I'm thinking of Jumper.
All right. What else should we talk about? Whatever. Doesn't matter anymore. If you listen to this Martin podcast, this is what you want.
Oh, I have seen Jumper. Hayden Christensen. Shout out.
Like I said, prepare yourself for game 7. Leading up to it's going to be great. The 48 minutes of the game is going to be miserable. And then afterwards, hopefully,
record
it's
a podcast.
The greatest day
it's
of our
be
life.
A W. It's going to be a great day, and I can't freaking wait. And we'll do another watch party, and we'll actually record a podcast before the watch party happens, so you guys can actually come.
Is this true?
If we do another watch party
for Game 7, I do not want to do a watch party.
Oh no, we're not doing a Game 7. I'm talking about for the Western Conference Finals.
Okay.
Yeah, we should.
I'll be watching Game 7 alone in my basement with alienating everyone I've ever loved.
Yeah, Brandon's gonna have his arms tied and padded walls around him so he doesn't start banging his head against it.
So he doesn't start banging his television once.
You never know. He's so jacked.
He's just so ready. This is not supposed to be a demerit on Tom's. I love Tom's watch bar. It was a great time. Again, those Korean barbecue wings and the buffalo wings too. Shout out to Gabe. Also, how sick was it to hang out with Gabe?
Shout out Gabe.
Yeah, Gabe rules.
Gabe's tight.
Late entry for Panty Nation member of the year.
Yeah.
He had lots of fun anecdotes. He had lots of...
Oh, no. The Wi-Fi struck again.
It was so close.
I want to find like a more obscure place to host a watch party. Oh no! Was it a good whole episode up until now?
Yeah, it was good. I have
the unstable connection. Hang on.
Yeah.
Was it perfect? Because I'm recording a backup too, just in case.
No, you're.
Yeah,
you were
it was.
Good
it was literally perfect
sentence.
Until like right now.
Well, that's God telling us. All right, wrap it up. Stop talking about awesome Gabe. Thank you for rocking with another episode of Crunch Wears No Pants. We appreciate you immensely. If you made it this far on the podcast, make sure you subscribe to us on social media at No Pants Crunch on Twitter, TikTok, and Instagram. And make sure you subscribe and all that stuff on Spotify and Apple Podcasts. Remember, give us 1 stars or 5 stars if you're going to say something.
Stand on it.
Let's see here. If I catch you driving recklessly in a residential area, I'm going to take out my little pocket knife that my friend Shane Burton got me at 7th grade, and I'm going to flip it open in front of you. And I said, "Hey, boy." I won't do anything about it because I'm right and you're wrong. Love you. Bye.